two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Janovic.
Well, you heard this as breaking news yesterday when authorities in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota held a news conference and they announced that a police officer there had confused a taser for her duty gun when she shot a man during an altercation in Minnesota. It was all caught on body cam as officers got the man out of the car. You could see him kind of wiggle away and jump back in the car. You can hear her yell, taser, 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 but she ends up firing her gun. And the chief of police there saying it was a mix-up. It just breaks my heart.
And you can hear the surprise in her voice as she says, I shot him. And this realization, what a horrible mistake. So we wanted to have this conversation and try to figure out, how does this kind of thing happen? Because a taser and a gun are significantly different. They look different. They feel different. Although there is some similarities. But how does that happen?
Have you ever held a taser?
I have.
And?
Well, there's several different kinds of tasers, right? There's kind of the, I don't know how to say it. It almost looks like a clippers. Like shaving clippers.
I've seen, I know what you're talking about.
It's kind of like this dry stun taser that doesn't have the prongs that go in. I've held one of those. I've never actually fired a taser gun, the ones that shoot out the prongs.
Yeah. I've been around them, and I've held one before, and the kind that officers carry. And not on a scene. I wanted to make that clear. It was not like I was on a scene holding an officer's taser. I don't know what would happen in the moment. That's all I'm saying. But we're going to get into how they carry their taser and their gun so they can tell the difference in the moment. But first, KSL Television's Morgan Wolf, she had a fascinating interview with the former chief of police, Randy Watt. He's been on our show several times. He's also a military guy. You know, he's spent a lot of years around guns. And she specifically asked him yesterday, how can an officer possibly mix up a gun for a taser? And he really got to this point, Dave, of just the anxiety, the anxiousness in the moment. So let's listen to Morgan's interview with former Ogden Chief of Police Randy Watt.
Former Ogden Police Chief Randy Watt pointed out that tasers are often stored away from where firearms are on officers. Reaching for the wrong weapon and not realizing it points to that officer's cognitive delay.
That goes on up here. That has to do with the heightened anxiety, the heightened fear, and the brain's ability to discern things under stress and pressure.
Well, and how often do they train? How often do they work?
In that scenario. Where it's spur of the moment and they got to train which side you're going to reach for. Which left, right. Left, right. Because that's how it's stored. And we're going to talk about that as well, Dave. But the anxiousness of that moment in Minnesota. But I do think there is going to be some questions raised about this. Look, the guy was wanted on misdemeanor warrants, and I believe it was like a traffic accident or something had happened leading up to this situation with police. And you can see from the body cam video, an officer approaches the car on the driver's side. They eventually get him out of the car because he has warrants, but they were misdemeanor warrants. So I know that there's going to be questions raised about why even need to tase this man? Why even tase this man? That's for investigators who are looking into this to determine. And we're going to talk about as well in a second about possible charges. But they were certainly taking this man into custody for misdemeanor warrants when this mistake happened, according to the chief of police in Minnesota. He was shot. He was killed instead of tased. And you can hear the officer saying, taser, taser, taser. So she must think she's got the taser in her hand. Now, the chief of police addressed this, Dave. He said they carry the taser on the non-dominant side and the gun on the dominant side. So if you're right-handed, you're carrying your duty gun on your right side.
During this encounter, however, the officer drew their handgun instead of their taser. We train with our handguns on our dominant side and our taser on our weak side. So if you're right-handed, you carry your firearm on your right side, and you carry your taser on the left.
Training is everything. In my opinion, when I look at this, training is everything. Think of when someone throws something to you, which hand do you catch it with? Now, I was a baseball player for a lot of years, so when people throw things to me, I'm right-handed, I naturally catch it with my non-dominant hand. I catch it with my left hand because for, 30, 40 years, I've caught everything with my left hand. That is how I'm trained. So for a officer to learn and to train and to reach with their non-dominant hand, that isn't natural. Because normally we grab everything with our dominant hand. We do everything with our dominant hand. So you can see why it would be difficult. You can see why it would be confusing. It doesn't excuse it.
Protesters there, though, there's been protesting since this happened. And they want accountability. And there is an ongoing investigation. And it could result in criminal charges against this officer, even if it turns out that this was an accident. Let me tell you why I think that could be the case. In 2015, there was a volunteer sheriff's deputy. It was in Oklahoma that this happened. He accidentally fired his handgun instead of his taser, killed an unarmed suspect. He was already being held on the ground. He was convicted of second-degree manslaughter, sentenced to 4 years in prison. And then in 29, a few years before that, have you ever ridden the BART in the Bay Area, Dave, in Oakland?
No.
Yeah, I've been on the BART quite a bit when I've been over in San Francisco, the Oakland area, and they've got this rapid transit system. Well, there's a police officer who works for them. He fired his gun instead of a taser, and he killed a 22-year-old in Oakland, California. And he was sentenced to 2 years in prison for involuntary manslaughter. So even if the defense is it was an accident, officers end up doing time in prison for making that mistake.
Yes, we see that. We see people that go driving while intoxicated. They don't mean to kill somebody in a wreck, but they're held accountable. And as tragic as this is, as heartbreaking as it is, it's important to hold people accountable.
Straight ahead, Dave, I want to dive into a totally different subject here in this series that we have been doing called Priced Out, as home buying has become so crazy. Well, if you're getting those postcards in the mail, I call them postcard pitches for people to sell your home, you're going to want to listen to this conversation that we're going to have in a few minutes. We're going to ask the Better Business Bureau if these are legit or if they're scams.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.